All right, you guys ready?
I'm ready.
Yo.
See.
Mm-hmm. I'm ready to talk about some stuff.
Mm-hmm. Some vampire sex.
Yes. You just made the intro to the podcast. I can tell already.
Mm-hmm. Vampire sex.
I love it.
Hi, Mom.
Alright, welcome to Rated NA number 83 for the website nerdappropriate.com. We talk about all the things video games, movies, TV, comics, whatever else we might be interested in that week. And today we have a special guest live on the podcast with us, Miss Mylan Barrows.
Welcome.
Yay!
Howdy.
Welcome.
Thanks for
having
me.
Welcome to the show. And you know, I'm pretty excited because it's been a couple years since we actually had two females on the podcast at the same time.
Have we ever had two
we
females
did.
On the podcast?
I was thinking
Wait
about
a
it
minute.
On the way. This morning, no, this morning I was thinking about it when I went out to buy some more caffeine for the podcast. It's been, I think, since the first 10 episodes, back in like the first 10, which
we had
terrible.
Amy on once.
No,
yes.
We had Haley, Vader, and Amy on at the same
yeah,
time.
Yeah, so that was the only time we've ever had two ladies. But so welcome, Mylan.
Wait, what?
They were good too. They did good on the podcast.
They did good. Welcome.
Welcome. So you're here to talk about everything with us, but you also have an app/adventure book out on iOS and Android called Strange Loves.
Yes, I wrote a game book called Strange Loves: Vampire Boyfriends. It's a humorous supernatural romance, choose your own adventure style book app. You
awesome.
Know, just
awesome.
A couple
cool.
things about it.
And no, and I first obviously learned of this from our good friends Reset Transmission, and you were on their podcast a little bit ago, and we're of course big fans of their stuff and big fans of them. And I was a huge, huge fan of Choose Your Own Adventure, and I was telling Hillary before anybody got here, I actually went back on Amazon and bought a whole bunch of my old Choose Your Own Adventure books from when I was a kid, because the whole genre is something I really, really enjoy. So I'm excited when we actually get down to, you know, talking to you about it. I'm excited to talk about the genre of Choose Your Own Adventure because it's awesome.
It is. It is awesome. And people really love it. You know, people, anytime we talk about it, if you've read them before, you really seem to get what we're doing. So it's kind of fun.
Mm-hmm. Awesome. Awesome.
And also I realized that when I got it, that we talked to Tin Man Games at our first ever PAX East.
Did we?
Oh, really?
Yeah, we did. Because I was like, God, that sounds really familiar. And then I went and looked them up. And I remember that they had already done like three or four, I think, at the time. This was, what was that, 2 years ago, year and a half ago?
Yeah.
Almost
yeah, our
two.
First one, I think our first one was in 2011.
Yeah. And
yeah.
We talked to them at PAX, and I was super excited, but there was like, wah, wah, no Android at the time.
There was a lot of that. I was wah, there wah. That time. And,
oh, were you?
Yeah, and a lot of people were disappointed. We would tell them, we're working on it really hard, but it's so much easier to get stuff up on Apple. That's kind of where we started.
Yeah, that's what we hear. We hear it is a challenge to do stuff for Android because the different screen sizes and such. So,
yeah, you basically have to reprogram the whole app. But we have this amazing engineer, Ben Britton, who did it. And we're actually now on Desura as well. Not all of our titles are on Desura, but we're working on getting them all up there.
Cool. That's well, cool. Thanks so much for coming on. We're just going to kind of talk about what everyone's been doing. So how have you guys been?
Would you like to go through what we're talking about on the podcast first?
Do you mean the rundown?
The rundown?
The rundown.
Let's do the rundown.
Oh, my God. So today on the podcast, we're going to talk in the news section. We're going to talk about the Nintendo new hardware that has been announced and released. We're going to talk a little bit about the X-Men next movie, a Bungie quote leak, Dragonborn Skyrim DLC, Far Cry, and some Microsoft news. And then our reviews. Of course, we're going to talk about Strange Loves, Vampire Boyfriends, and we're going to look at a documentary called Resurrect Dead, which is available on Netflix right now. Ash saw the perks of being a wallflower, and Hillary saw Twilight Breaking Dawn Part 2. And then... in our Naquato this week, which is the nerd appropriate question of the week, Hillary, The question
grown on
is,
her. She likes it now. She's all excited about it.
Yeah.
No. I'm happy when he said the whole thing. Oh, okay. Not Nakata.
I was just reminding you what it stood for in case you didn't know.
One day she'll be.
Oh
converted.
Yeah, sure.
Yeah. So the question is supernatural romance. What supernatural being creature would you love to have a relationship with, and why?
I'm actually really excited about all the vampire / monster sex that's going to happen on this episode.
I actually put a lot of thought into this question.
Well, how the Nerd Appropriate Question of the Week works for our listeners is that I normally, like, by Wednesday, I'll be like, oh shit, we haven't asked a question yet. And then I'll text everyone and be like, hey guys, let's think of a question. And if I don't hear from anyone within, like, by the end of the day, I just come up with, like, the first one I can think of, which after 83 episodes is usually pretty awful. But I think this one was fun because we got some really fun responses.
No, it's great.
So I think this one's going to turn out okay because people were very playful with it, and that's kind of what I was looking for. So cool.
Yay.
So now, cool. What has everybody been up to?
I'm moving.
Yeah, tell us about that, Hillary. Tell us about your trials and your tribulations and all that fun
so
stuff.
So I disassembled my Christmas tree.
Oh.
You mean you chopped it up with a chainsaw and made it into kindling?
Sure, if that's what you want to think.
You shouldn't burn plastic, I don't think.
Oh,
man. Yeah, so I took apart my Christmas tree, which is super, super sad. And I was listening to Christmas music as I did it, so I was super sad, Zach.
You should and, just play the music in reverse.
That would have been awesome.
Yeah.
Yeah. No, but packing is awful. Awful, awful, awful. Packing
it
boxes.
It is bad.
It's like
bad.
Making it's boxes. Really it's the worst. So I'm moving to a place where I have not even seen the house that I'm moving into, which is fun. So it really is an adventure.
Well, yeah, well, good luck to you. And hopefully you move into the house and it's not like a dungeon someplace and like the bottom of a Mexican restaurant or something.
Well, I'm locked in now, so I'll have to deal with it.
You're now the dishwasher.
No. Yeah. It should be fun, though. I mean, I'm moving up to the San Francisco Bay Area, so that's cool. Fun.
Yeah.
No more LA.
That's awesome. That's great.
Yeah. I'm super excited.
I think we'll get along better if you live in the Bay Area.
I'm the Bay Area, so
yeah, I know.
So Matt, what have you been doing? I barely heard from you this week. I was worried about you.
Really? Did we not? I guess we didn't. Yesterday we went on a texty talk yesterday. Yeah. You just cut all that. I don't know what any of that meant.
Dinner last night, cracking up at our texty talk.
Oh, but you're welcome then. What did I do this week, man? I did not do nerd-wise a whole lot. I didn't play many games.
Yeah, I didn't see you on the Xbox at all.
Yeah, I wasn't really on. And then I've been working a bunch, but like in a good way. I actually really love my new job. But yeah, so work's been going good and been building that new stuff. And that's about it. I read a bunch. I'm reading. Not only did I read, you look this dichotomy, not only did I read Strange Loves, I also read. I'm also reading the George Washington A Life at the same time. So,
natural companions. It makes perfect sense.
They go well together. They get confused a few times. I was like, "Why is George Washington dating Lucas?" And then I kind of like, oh,
it's all about Royce.
So that's what I've been doing. So not much.
You
but,
guys can't even agree on who to romance. This is ridiculous.
Oh, no. Royce is good times. I'm okay with Royce.
I should read you what Matt texted me last night. So I'm sitting at dinner with my wife, and this is what he says. I've been reading a vampire sex book all week. Tomorrow should be interesting. And then he says, hold on.
Cutting on your part of the conversation, this is going to make significantly less sense.
Oh, I said, go watch the documentary. It's incredible. And he says, don't tell me what to do. You don't own me. And then I said, actually, there's something I have to tell you. I'm your dad.
Oh, my God.
He says, you had sex with my mom when you were 3? And I said, okay, I was lying.
Wow. And
that's our conversation. So, that was fun.
You can finish it if you want. you said should be good. Mylan's hanging out the whole episode, and I said works for me. She's made me question my whole sexuality. What if I'm actually male vampires?
I did forget that part. Yeah.
And then he wrote, "We're literally lolling over here." And I said, "What if I am? I missed out on the whole Twilight scene. So many missed opportunities at Comic-Con." That was my conversation yesterday.
Oh my gosh.
You're all welcome for that.
Yes.
That's my favorite thing ever.
By the way, there is Lady Love within Strange Loves. And I figured, and I got an achievement for it. Oh.
You would get an achievement for that.
Get to that.
Damn. Yes, her name is Katie Sackhoff.
Oh my gosh.
Yeah, no kidding.
Oh, two Katie Sackhoff lovers.
So, Scott,
who is it?
I'm going to get her on the podcast.
Please do. Please do.
God, this is already off the rails. We're like 5 minutes in, guys.
Yeah, that's okay. That's where it needs to be.
Yep.
Scott, what have you been up to?
I had a pretty, like, this week was full of fail as far as Xbox gaming goes. I was trying to play Borderlands with Derek and Bill, and at some point my headset stopped working, and it was pretty awful, and it totally pissed me off. And they started making fun of me. You know, even though I could hear them, they're like, he can't talk back to us. Blah, 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 blah. So, anyways, let me tell you a story about Jimmy Jenkins, you guys.
The little robot, right?
Yeah. There's this achievement in Borderlands 2 where you have to do level one of all non-area specific challenges. And one of these challenges includes finding and killing this Hyperion robot, Jimmy Jenkins. And he's like, he's a loot midget. He's a rare spawn. He only spawns in like Hyperion bases. So, and it's one of the last things I have to do to get this achievement. So I literally stayed up because I was putting in shift codes all night anyways. I think I played Borderlands 2 last night from like 11 p.m. until 2:30. And I ran, wow. I ran the same 5 minutes of Thousand Cuts over and over and over again looking for him because I thought it was the best chance to find him. Because I can't do the wildlife exploitation exploit. So I did it all night. I got nothing, right? I woke up this morning to put another shift code in. I was like, you know what? Let me give this a try. And you know what happened? The first box I opened?
Jimmy Jenkins.
No, nothing. But the second box I opened, Jimmy Jenkins popped
you
out.
You set me up, you son of a...
Dun-dun.
Dun-dun. But on the second chest I opened, on the first run, Jimmy Jenkins popped out, and I didn't even take the time to enjoy it. I just put my shotgun in his face and blew it off.
So,
wow.
So there two you questions. Go. One, I don't understand anything you just said.
Yeah. I hear that's fairly common with people that listen to this podcast sometimes.
Oh.
And two, to explain, you're not naturally a late night person. So 2:30 is actually
it was totally the subconscious part of my brain that was playing the game at that point. I was totally zoning out and just kind of like staring at the screen, like, you know, glass-eyed or whatever. So there you go, bunch of fail.
So that would explain your mood.
Yeah,
maybe.
So
that's
a little moody today.
I know,
guys.
I'm on my second cup of coffee and like, I don't know, I'm like, Michaela is not impressed right now, so I'm gonna work through it, you guys. We're gonna get through this together.
Oh boy.
Yeah.
So Mylin, why don't we talk to Mylin and see what she's been doing?
Sure.
Yes.
Okay.
We're still here, right?
Which have you been on?
Well, so my parents just moved. So Hillary, I understand a little bit of what you're going through.
Oh, it's torture.
Oh my God. And we were helping them and I had to go and get all my old stuff out of their house. So of course they've been my storage unit for I don't want to say how many years. So now I have all my old Halloween costumes from the time I was like 4.
What?
And it's awesome. It's like Wonder Woman and Batgirl and the Princess Allura costume with the pink satin jumpsuit that my mom made. It's
awesome.
Which is amazing. Which there are no pictures of, and I'm so sad because it's like, and I asked my sister, there have to be pictures. She said, no, every couple of years you ask me again and I have to tell you, no, there's still no pictures, and you get sad all over again. And I found my sister's She-Ra costume. So she was awesome. She was like 6 or something in She-Ra. And so that's been like a thing. So I have piles of stuff like all over the place with all of my old stuff. Also, I've been helping my sister start an Etsy business. She taught herself Photoshop. And so she's been doing this for a little bit now, just started. where she can like make you into a monster or a fairy or airbrush your picture.
Your sister's the one that did that on your profile picture?
Yes.
That is really incredible.
Ooh, that's awesome.
That is really, because it looks really, really well done. Plug her stuff because it's really great.
Oh, I will. So she made me into a vampire, of course, because just for fun, and also as an example of her work. And so she's Digital Blush at Etsy.
Awesome.
So
it's really cool. She does some great stuff.
Thank you. She'll be psyched to hear that. You like it. So that's really the big stuff for me. Oh, that, and I have something kind of embarrassing to admit.
This podcast is the perfect
like that.
Place for that.
We like that.
Isn't it, though?
Yeah.
So, you know, I work in games, but I also am, like, trying to, like, understand why games are popular. So I started playing Farmville 2.
Oh, wow.
I had to see it, right? I'd never played any games on Facebook before, and I am addicted to it.
Oh, that's the dangerous thing. Yeah, those social games can get very, very addicting.
Yeah, so I've been growing a lot of crops.
Very nice.
Yeah.
Awesome. Yes. Awesome.
I played Farmville in the beginning, so you're in good company.
Thank you.
I think I just got so mad because you have to tend your crops like constantly, especially the high value ones. I mean, they seem to have shorter life cycles. Yeah. So yeah, I was totally addicted for a while. So I understand. Yeah.
Awesome.
It's what was the Tamagotchi? It's like having a Tamagotchi.
Mm-hmm.
You know, kids still. I was at the dentist the other day, and kids were still playing with their Tamagotchis, and I was like, "What is happening? These are still around."
That's crazy.
Yeah, they're yelling at their parents. I need to feed. You know, whatever their Tamagotchi's name was. I was like, "Wow, this is crazy." Well, since you guys are all wondering, I'll tell you what I've been doing.
You're waiting.
Yeah. I had actually a good week at work this week. I kind of determined that my day job, I teach stuff to people.
Yeah.
I try and be very vague. But anyway, the stuff I taught this week was actually a lot of fun. And so whenever I teach something that's really, really interesting to me and is a lot of fun, the students seem to enjoy it, and it makes my job a whole lot easier. I got to teach about the Mongols all week, which was, you know, one of my favorite things to teach about. Good old Genghis Khan and Kublai Khan and all those fun
Shaka
folks.
Khan.
Shaka Khan.
Shaka Khan.
And, yeah.
Shaka Khan was the worst.
Wrath of Khan.
Wrath of Khan. Absolutely. You guys are stealing all the jokes I make during my class. So that was kind of fun. And in terms of game playing and movie watching and stuff like that, I did finish the Omega DLC, which we're going to do in our reviews. I've been playing more Assassin's Creed 3 and just trying to clear out some of the side quests and things there. And there are literally, I'm not even exaggerating, hundreds and hundreds of side quests. So I'm just like, it kind of just feels like it'll never end. So I don't know if I should just plow through the story and just finish it, or if I should do all the side stuff.
You should do it this is the reason why, because once you get into the main plot again, it moves so fast that you're going to wish that you'd spent more time in the world. Mm.
Yeah. Well, I did all the Captain Kidd stuff, which was amazing. Did you do all the Captain Kidd stuff?
Of course.
Yeah, it was great. And then I'm doing all the Homestead stuff now, which is really cool because you actually get to know all the people that live on your property, and they all have like family problems, and they're trying to date each other and all this really fun storytelling kind of stuff.
It's so sweet.
So my plot has like basically stopped, and I'm pretty much running around like being everybody's buddy, which I guess is cool, but I also kind of want to see what happens next in the story. So I guess I'll take my time and just let it happen.
Did you do all the other ship quests?
I haven't done all of them. I've done a good number of them. I think I only have like two or three available at this point. So,
well, you get an achievement if you do them all. So you should do them all.
Okay.
Not this achievement, Lord.
All right. Well, that's pretty much it for me. It was a good week, but I'm glad that we are here podcasting.
News.
I think we already know the answer to this question since we didn't even talk about it last week, but the Wii U came out.
Yeah.
Hey. And obviously none of us got it, so...
Yeah.
Any excitement for this? Among us?
What's funny is I have a couple friends, like, you know, Facebook friends and old acquaintances and stuff that were bigger Nintendo fanboys than even you, Scott.
Heyo.
And, you know, I saw that the Wii U came out and I messaged them. I'm like, hey, did you pick up the Wii U? Like, you know, I want to know how it is. And they're like, no, I didn't get it. I'm like, did anyone buy this console? I don't know.
Well, apparently it was sold out.
Yeah.
But Nintendo does that on purpose. They're really notorious for, you know, actually producing limited numbers of their consoles in order to like increase the demand for their product. So it's like, you know, who knows how many they actually made or if they're holding back on releasing more. Because they want this to be a big Christmas seller, right? So they're going to be like, oh, you can't get this anywhere. So, yeah.
They're not even selling it online. But then somehow, magically, if you go onto eBay, someone's got like a pyramid of Wii U's stacked up and they're selling them for $900 a piece, which is crazy.
That's ridiculous.
Yeah. Mm.
Supposedly they sold, I think they released a number and it was like 400,000 units, I think. Yeah. 400,000 Wii U's, which, you know, which we're not going to talk about the other numbers, but to mention is like PS3 sold 525 and then Xbox 360 sold 750,000. So it's like, who won that war this year? I mean, we use brand new console and it can't outsell the things that are aging.
It's very competitive
at this point.
Yeah, it is. Yeah.
Have you guys actually physically held the gamepad, the Wii U gamepad?
See, here's the thing is that I played it at PAX. Mm-hmm. And I really liked it. Like, I got to play new Super Mario Brothers U. I played some of the Nintendo Land attractions. And I played Zombie U, which I really enjoyed. But, and I think Nintendo's even said this as well. But, you know, I feel like the console is aimed at, like, having people together in the home in the same place. Like, using this gamepad and using Wiimotes and stuff like that.
Oh, yeah.
And that's just not how I game, you know. So, for me, there really needs to be like a really killer single player experience that uses that gamepad like in a way that you can't get that experience on another console. You know what I mean?
Right.
That's what it's really going to take. And that's probably going to be Zelda, to be honest with you. You know,
I mean, if it had had, I know this sounds stupid, but you know, I bought the PS3 for Black Friday, and if the Wii U had had like a Blu-ray player or something that I did not have in my living room yet.
Yeah,
I probably would have. Yeah. It would have tipped me towards getting a new console as opposed to getting a 4-year-old console that has Blu-ray. You know, like it's just a weird. It's a weird. It's like you're saying. It's a weird place in the market that just doesn't fit any of my needs right now. Like, you know, watch a high definition movie, play games with my friends, and all that stuff is aimed at doing it in your living room with, you know, everyone around. So
yeah, and maybe it's a situation where, you know, like this circle of quote hardcore gamers, which I'm going to call everyday gamers, maybe that's just not who the target market is for the Wii U. Mm-hmm. Maybe it's just everyone else, you know?
Mm. Well, you know, what's funny is that Nintendo has been putting out a series of ads lately, and it's not for the Wii U, but it's for their handheld. I'm going to call it a DS, but I don't know if it's actually called a DS.
The 3DS?
But the 3DS, thank you. Mm-hmm. And there's two ads in particular that I'm thinking about, and they're both girls that have these gamepads, right? And then they say something like, I'm not a gamer, but I do this and this and this, right?
Oh, yeah, yeah.
That really bothers me. Like,
me too.
I feel like they're probably going after a market that's not the everyday gamer. Mm-hmm. But it really bugged me because they were like, you know, stylish, young, attractive females, right? And then they're like, oh, I'm not a gamer. In just kind of like a condescending way.
Yeah, I think one is like and at least the one I've seen was an actress. I think her name is Diana Aragon. Like, she's the... Mm-hmm. And yeah, it bugged me too. I think that it's the way she says it more than what she's saying.
Yeah,
you know.
But I find it interesting that a company that produces games and gaming equipment and technology is saying that this is for the non-gamer.
Yeah.
Like, doesn't that feel kind of strange?
Well, it's weird. I mean, I think all of us have probably noticed that when we were teenagers, there was definitely a negative social stigma attached to gaming, and it's
totally
improved a lot. I mean, it's improved a whole lot to the point where, you know, I'm around teenagers all the time because of my job, and I know that now there really isn't a negative social stigma attached to gaming. I mean, you see a lot of, you know, people from all different social circles who all play games of all different sorts, and they talk about them openly without any sort of social repercussions at all. I mean, they can, you know, talk about games all day, and it's completely fine. But I don't think that the media has quite recognized that, and some marketers haven't quite recognized that either.
For sure.
But I mean, to back up their point, guys, there's nothing I like doing better than sitting back on the couch and watching a movie on my 2.4-inch 3DS screen.
Exactly.
Well, and I want to say one. Oh, I'm sorry. I want to say one thing too, though. I have a lot of friends, like a lot of my girlfriends, play on their iPhones or whatever they play. casual games. And I don't know if they would necessarily consider themselves gamers. So I, even though they are, I think that when you say the term gamer, it's like you think about somebody sitting on their couch with their with the controller in their hands and like immersed in a big like a AAA game. So maybe it's a semantics thing where they're trying to rope in all these other people. Because I mean, obviously, whatever they are doing, it's still kind of a game, whether it's, they call it that or not.
Yeah. Well, I think Nintendo has won their own form of the living room battle to them. You know, I mean, it's not like the Wii did horribly. The Wii was a massive seller and did exactly what they wanted it to do.
Well, I mean, it's a different segment, you know, different segment.
It's just I don't think they were looking to battle Xbox and PS3 on the same ground. You know, like they were fighting a different fight essentially. But I think what you guys are alluding to and what they're fighting now is against this kind of the casual gamer on their phone or on their, you know, iPad or whatever, and they're losing that battle pretty bad to iOS. So,
Well, yeah, I mean, their target market is kind of dying off.
Oh my gosh, we're kind of going off the rails a little bit. The other piece of this Nintendo news is that they also announced a Wii Mini, which is another
exclusive to Canada,
which is another redesign of their console.
Exclusive to Canada.
Oh, really?
The initial sales are Canada only. No American.
Odd.
It's because of Canadian internet, right? Because it's got no internet connectivity.
Yeah. Ah, okay.
Every third person in Canada is in the video game industry, right, Ash?
Yeah. At least 33%.
I think we established that last week. But yes. This Wii Mini has no online connectivity, which is kind of bizarre, right? So all it is just a game player.
Cool, though.
Yeah, I mean, it does look cool, but it's just kind of like a weird thing. Like, it doesn't, you know, you can't. Is there no channel guide? That was my question, because like when you turn on the Wii, it goes to the channel guide, but all those channels required internet functionality. So do you just put the disc in and play? Is it just like a brand new GameCube machine? Is that supposed to be?
I mean, honestly, though, I mean, do you think they were doing super hot in the online market? I mean,
yeah, I guess not. So
I don't think they cared. It was just like, hey, here's a. I mean, it's super cheap. It's $100.
Just kind of an interesting thing, you know.
Yeah, I think this is just like, hey, you know, we've sold as many Wiis as we're possibly going to sell, and the Wii U is $350, so here's a $100 Wii that you can just throw in your living room and let your kids destroy and play games with.
Yeah, I thought that was interesting. Okay, so let's move on to X-Men news.
Yeah, so...
you just said that like a last name. X-Men.
X-Men news.
If anyone grew up reading the X-Men, kind of like I did, it was one of my favorite titles when I was a kid, and one of my absolute favorite storylines was something called Days of Future Past, and it was a time travel story, and it was one of the first really big time travel stories in comics. And what happened in Days of Future Past is they passed something called the Mutant Registration Act, and all the mutants had to register their powers and their identities to the government. And then these robots get loose called Sentinels and wipe out all the mutants, and they go kind of on the run. And it kind of it has a lot of parallels to like a World War II Nazi Germany sort of storyline. And it was very, very dark, and a lot of your favorite characters had died during Days of Future Past. And it was, you know, a really kind of dystopian, sad view of the future of what would happen if, you know, things went bad for the mutants. Well, they're actually making that storyline into a movie now, and they're using, how many of you guys saw X-Men First Class? Did everybody see X-Men
Not
First?
Yet.
You didn't
yeah,
see
yeah.
it?
Yeah. No.
Oh, really? It's
so
good.
It's really good. So it's the X-Men First Class is about them when the X-Men first form. And so what they're doing now is they're taking the cast of X-Men First Class and they're time traveling them to the future, to the Days of Future Past, where everything is gone very, very poorly for the X-Men. This is actually reuniting the director Bryan Singer with a lot of his old cast and a lot of the new cast from X-Men First Class. So Ian McKellen, thank you. Ian McKellen is going to be in it, and Patrick Stewart's going to be in it, and Hugh Jackman actually just got announced to be back as Wolf.
Yay!
And so they're going to be their future versions of themselves, and then the cast from, I guess, the new movie is going to be in it as well. So it's kind of like a mashup of the old and the new, which is exciting for X-Men fans. So,
yeah, that's Jennifer Lawrence has something to do other than Hunger Games.
Yes, that's true, too. Mm-hmm. She'll be back as Mystique, which is awesome. Cool. So what else we got, guys?
Bungie. Remember them?
Yes, kind of.
Hillary, do you remember Bungie?
Yeah, they made
Bungie.
Myth, right?
They made that game Myth in 1996.
Oh, I love that game.
Yeah, it was a good game. So they have been working in secret on this new IP that they're going to put out. And it got quote unquote leaked. We're saying quote unquote because it just doesn't feel like it's a leak of the normal sort. It kind of feels like maybe somebody just put out some high-res images and said, hey, go ahead and give this to Kotaku and IGN and just see what happens. But but it looks kind of cool. It's got some of the lore in it. You know, if anybody was expecting them to take leaps and bounds away from Halo, then they're going to be probably a little sad because this is still about people fighting aliens on a foreign planet. But at least now, the art is a little bit more, what would you call it, like Future Knights?
Yeah, it kind of has a medieval vibe to it. And, you know, for fans of Valkyria Chronicles, I definitely get a vibe, like a Valkyria Chronicles kind of vibe. You're mixing technology with almost what looks like, you know, kind of a Middle Ages sort of, you know, aesthetic. So it looks very cool.
I can dig it.
Yeah, I think it looks great. So the game's going to be called Destiny, and I guess from what we're hearing, there's going to be some sort of social aspect to it. And it's not going to be an MMO, but they're saying it's going to be a highly social experience like an MMO. So I don't know really what that means.
Maybe it's going to be like Borderlands.
That would be great. Yeah, sure.
So one interesting thing to me on it was that they did have platforms listed on the bottom, and it does say Xbox 360 and PS3.
Which is strange, right? Which means it has to be between now and, I don't know why anyone would release anything for 360 after, you know, July of next year, because I guess the new 360 is coming out in like November. But
well, I mean, people will still release games. I just don't know why they would release this, you know, like a
huge title. Yeah.
Yeah, huge title. So we will see, but not exclusive. So, I mean, that's at least interesting.
It's cool.
Cool.
But, cool. Hillary's excited, I can tell.
I know.
Ready to shoot some aliens, finally.
The thing is, I am really excited about something that's coming out probably when this episode drops.
That is the greatest segue ever created, Hillary.
I love it. Let's go.
Dude, I'm really good at that. Don't give me like a list of things to say because I will mess that up. But segueing, all right. So, Dragonborn Skyrim DLC will be out on Tuesday.
Super excited.
Yay, someone else.
Yes, I am so psyched. I've been playing the Hearthfire DLC, which is not nearly as big as this one's going to be, I know. But it got me all the way back into Skyrim. I love that game, so I think this is going to be very cool.
Cool. Yeah, cool. What platform do you play on? Are you a 360 or a PC player?
So PS3? The first time I played it, I was on PS3, but then I moved over to Xbox 360 so that I could have the DLC.
Oh, cool.
So we have the PlayStation 3 is downstairs, and that's where my husband plays most of the time. And then I have the Xbox 360 in my office where I play.
Awesome.
Nice.
So, yeah.
Awesome. I'm a big fan of Skyrim as well. I vividly remember I played so much that I think I was starting to like lose my mind a little bit because the game is just so vast.
Oh, yeah.
And like unlike Scott, I don't really 100% all my games. I play them and then just kind of put them down when I'm done. But Skyrim, I got so into, I ended up 100%ing and did all the side quests and everything.
Oh, that's awesome.
I think I was kind of going crazy and it almost led to my divorce.
Well, that's like 300 hours worth of gameplay, so I wouldn't be surprised.
Yeah, it was a lot. I don't know how that happened.
you calling your wife Ayla.
Yeah.
you lose time, though. I know. I would sit down to play that game and look up, and it had been like 4 hours, and I had no idea.
Yeah, it's pretty amazing.
Wow.
Good stuff.
So is this coming out? This will be out when this podcast airs on Tuesday.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah, and something that I'd like to say, too, I would just like to say that last week I said something about how GameStop, when I go there, everybody sells to Dave. I would like to say that I went to the mall this weekend or earlier this week, and I went to a GameStop, and there were two girls working there. So I was so excited. I was like, GameStop, you are awesome.
And did they still sell
to Dave?
No, they didn't. They were actually, I was alone. But they were so knowledgeable. And like, I just felt like, this is awesome. Finally.
Did you say listen to my podcast?
No.
Yeah. Missed opportunity.
Yeah, but I was super excited. I am a marketer.
Oh, Oh boy.
I just give you a raspberry.
I know. It's been a while since I've gotten the raspberries. I'm happy about that.
So last up, we've got a slew of Microsoft news that we're going to kind of throw together. But the ye old Surface Pro, which I thought Hillary was waiting for, has been announced. And it is priced at $899 for just the tablet.
Yeah, no keyboard.
And that is 64 gigs. And then I think it's $999 for 128 gig.
Yikes. Yeah. At what point are you better off just buying a really small, you know, laptop, like a Ultrabook or something?
They are entering into Ultrabook territory here. So I've played with the Lenovo Yoga, it's called.
Mm-hmm.
And it's like the 13-inch tablet or laptop that can like fold all the way backwards and then be like a tablet, sort of.
I heard good things.
It'd be a bulky tablet, but it feels awesome. It works really well. So I'm wondering if this is kind of a different, you know, Microsoft made their tablet to prove like, hey, you can make a good tablet. But mm-hmm. Surface Pro is now entering into weird hybrid territory, and the price is definitely at the price of Ultrabooks. Is this still interesting to you, Hillary, or no?
Yeah, actually, if anything, this has shocked me enough to make me think, well, maybe I can do with just I think it's called the RT. Yeah. So I think I'll probably pick that up and just... Oh my God.
What's that?
Freddy Krueger just ran down the hallway dragging his claws. What was that?
Wow. Welcome to the world of moving. I have no idea what that was. I'm a little concerned.
Yeah, are you okay, Hillary?
I'm okay. Wow. So yeah, that's a sign that I need to buy the RT. Yeah. I'll probably be picking that up.
The other scary news with this, and I don't know if you've noticed this, Scott, but the RT version of the Surface, they came out where they said that the 32 gig, right, half of that is taken up by, or is it the 16 gig, half of it's taken up by Windows itself.
Oh, like
Windows
really? RT. I know there's like a 32 and a 64. But to
or
be
32,
honest, yeah. To be honest, I really don't have a lot of need to have files on the machine yet.
Right.
So far, so good.
Supposedly it takes somewhere up like 9 or 10 gigs of 32 gigs is just the operating system space. So,
yeah.
Yikes.
I mean, I just want to be an early adopter. I really want to see this stuff like take off. And, I wouldn't be surprised if I had to sell this thing in a year and get something else, but I'm okay with that right now.
All right.
Cool. So we'll be back in just a few seconds with some reviews.
So we're back.
What's up, guys? Enjoy your break.
I did. I went to get coffee, but we did not have any more. But that's okay. That was really
cool. You inspired me because I went and made some coffee.
Nice.
Sorry.
It's okay. I had a humongous cup of coffee. I probably don't need to.
I drank some energy juice and I ate some cookies and I'm feeling pretty good.
Nice.
I found out that the explosion in my house was actually Dave dumping the recycling. Recycling bin right next to the room I'm in. So
that's a lot less scary than Freddy Krueger coming out.
Yeah, for sure.
Yeah, I was having like these visions of my china cabinet or something falling over or something. So I'm pretty pleased that nothing is actually broken.
That's good.
Hey guys, let's talk about vampire sex.
Yes.
Finally.
I'm excited about this. Especially
yes,
since Mylan's actually here. It's rare that we do a review and the person that we're reviewing is sitting in the room with us. So,
so exciting.
That's not awkward at all, right?
No, it's not awkward. We hated your game.
Well, I'm actually reading it right now. I'm not joking.
Are you really?
Yeah, totally.
So to clarify for our listeners, Matt and Hillary both completed Strange Loves for
times.
The iOS several times. And And Mylan, of course, was the author of Strange Loves, which is a iOS, Android, choose-your-own-adventure game book, which is, I guess, is its own genre in and of itself, right? I don't think there's anything else really much like this that we've really encountered out right now. So that's, first of all, super awesome because,
yeah, for sure.
Like we said in the intro, I really, really love choose-your-own-adventure stuff because all of us here are tabletop gamers and we all like D&D and stuff, so it kind of... is that same sort of mentality that we really like. So
what what I thought we would do is maybe Hillary and I would talk about our experiences and then talk to Mylan about how you created those experiences, if you will. Does that sound good?
I mean, do you want to get like, do you want to get spoilery or is that, I mean, we probably shouldn't do that, right?
Well, at a high level, I guess.
Oh, okay.
I don't think you can really spoil it. It's a comedy romance vampire book. So, you know, yes, there are some things that might surprise you, but we can talk about it.
Okay. We don't have to get into like specific, I meant experiences like how, we don't have to get like story points.
You're talking about sexual experiences, aren't you?
Now you guys make it sound like it's a dirty book. It is.
It's really not.
Pretty much PG, I would say.
We make everything sound dirty, though.
That I would say, yeah, it's PG, yeah, leaning on PG-13. Yeah, there you go.
Yeah, that's more accurate. Okay, fine.
Well, you know, the thing that I thought was really awesome is that when Matt and I first got on the call, when we were kind of just pre-planning this whole podcast, I think we were kind of running through what endings we got out of the game, and we were so different. I mean, you think...
No.
Yeah. Well, yes.
You and Matt?
Me and Matt. Wow, so different. But it was just really cool because your choices really matter. And I didn't even realize that there were the endings that, you know, I didn't know that those were available. And so now I have to go through and I'm going to try to get those endings. Mm. But yeah, I mean, it's just really cool that both of us played through several times and got completely different stories. So that's amazing.
And I will also say that in the beginning of the book, you really pound in the notion that you can bookmark before you choose something. And the first time I read it, I was like, I don't need a bookmark before I choose stuff. I'm fine. So I just started reading and going through it. And I recommend you bookmark before you choose things if you all would like to get back to where you were and try something different. Because sometimes you might be done.
On that note, let's talk a little bit about the functionality of the game and kind of how it plays compared to the other things that are out there right now. So at its very basic level, it is a book. But then where does it diverge from being just a book?
So in the book, as you're reading along, it mimics the classic kind of choose your own adventure. You'll get to certain story points and it'll say, you know, which one are you? Do you like the very first choice you make, essentially, or I think it's the first or second choice you make is, you know, are you a theater major in your senior year of college or are you kind of a phys ed, you know,
martial arts.
Yeah. Martial artist.
Or are you a writer?
Yeah. You can go like all three of these paths and then that will then diverge you around the book. And what I did notice is I chose two different ones. I did the martial artist one first, a few times, and then I did the theater one. And it's what I found really interesting, Mylan, is that you converge on the same points, but entirely differently read than, do you know what I mean? I don't know if I'm explaining this well enough, but essentially you'll come to certain points in the book that happen in the other one. You know, there might be a scene where you like one of the early scenes, you hear something in the forest and you take off running, right? Or you can choose to fight it or whatever you might be. But those points have similar resolutions to them, but they read completely differently based on where you are. And I found that amazing because I was like, God, how much writing? How many times, like, did you have a huge whiteboard with just like circles and lines pointing from like one thing to another on where things converged and where they were different and all of that? Or
no, I didn't. But because I should have, but I didn't. I have other people writing other books in this series, and we'll probably talk about that a little bit later. But I had all of them chart everything out first on an online flowchart system. I didn't do that, which made it a lot harder.
But
we kind of have this, and Tin Man Games is the company that I write for, and we have this idea where you have these things, I call them like hallway sections that you kind of get to, you kind of are driven down to certain things. You need to learn certain things to understand the story.
Right.
The way it's structured is you have a big overarching story. This is the way I structure them anyway. You have one big thing that's happening in the town. And then, which for this one is the battle between good and evil vampires. And then you have choices as to how you fit into that. So as I was writing, I would know that I wanted to have that scene where you hear the noise and you want to know what to do. And so I would figure out where that would fit in each one of the storylines and then tailor it to fit into what's happening to you.
Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Very, very cool.
I mean, the thing I also like too is written in the like second person present tense. Do I have that right?
Yes.
So it's, yes. Okay. So because yeah, of that. Yeah. So because of that, there's a lot of urgency already built in. So you have, you know, present tense verbs generally tend to do that. I mean, it's like it's happening to you in real time.
Well, that's what I enjoyed, not to cut you off, but it almost felt like, you know, from a D&D player or a role playing player, it's, you know, you walk down the hall, you encounter this, you do this. And I loved that about it because it felt like someone was reading a campaign to me and I was having to make the decisions, you know.
And I am really, your dungeon master.
Exactly. No, it's exactly what it was like. And I think that format fits perfectly for something like this, you know.
Yeah. So, I mean, that was, I mean, immediately I was, you know, kind of thrown in and captured because... Yeah, just because of the type of writing it was. And I mean, I thought it was really, I think it's really cool when you can choose a name and then other characters in the story are calling you by your name, which I love that level of,
you know,
of immersion. So, yeah, I mean, I was surprisingly like really, 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 really into it. Like, I mean, not that I wouldn't be into it, but I think as soon as I started it, I was like, oh, wow, this is awesome. So I had to play it like several times.
I have a question for you, Hillary. What was your name?
I played through so many times. I think I had like Aurora, Denali, like Liara.
Nice.
Yeah, I didn't really sit back and do like, you know, complex character creation, but I definitely was like, okay, well, this person's going to do it this way, or this person's going to choose that person, or yeah.
That is so interesting. I've never heard anybody say they played that way before, because I always thought that people really just put their own name in and played as themselves.
Oh, no, I didn't either.
That's really cool.
Although I guess it would be weird if Matt the girl, but...
Well, you know.
Matina.
I have an old name that I used to use all the time that's from an old vampire book called Tali. And I use Tali.
Oh, I thought you were going to say Chubby
Tree.
It's
not like Mass Effect.
What's that?
I was hoping you would say Chubby Tree.
Oh. No, not Tally, Tolly. It's T-O-L-L-Y. Yeah. It's like an old name that I used to use all the time. And it's kind of like, I use it in these kind of things because it's weirdly like sexually ambiguous. Like you don't really know if it's a boy or a girl and it doesn't really have any ties to it. So I use it all the time. But yeah, I found it like, I kind of played the same way, Hillary. I kind of created this persona while I was like the first playthrough. I was like, I'm going to be a kick-ass, you know, martial arts girl. And I'm just going to take everything on and like, you know, completely fight, and I died almost immediately.
I know. It's really shocking when you get to, and it's like the end. You're like, what?
Yeah.
What?
It was really off-putting. I was like, oh, and this, and yeah, I'll fight them. Whatever. I'm a martial artist. I took down that other dude without any issues. And it was like, and you're dead. And I was like, okay, well, I'll back up and try again.
Like, now I wish I would have implemented the bookmark system.
Yep, that was the first time.
Oh, which I will say really quick that we are doing an update at some point where you'll be able to hit back. That's going to be like a new thing for all the books.
That's awesome. And I understand that probably normal people would like that because you can you like save your own ass kind of thing. But it was almost cool that it was so brutal because it was kind of like, oh, man, like you were like, oh, crap, I got to start all over again. And it started making you really... think about your decisions before you would make them, as opposed to just being like, well, I can immediately go back without worrying about it. Like, it was like, I don't know, do I want to run or do I want to wait and see what this is? Do I want to, you know, do I want to invite the dude in or not? You know,
right. I'm totally awesome. Doing a no bookmarks insanity playthrough right now.
Oh, it's crazy. Yeah.
Oh, no bookmarks. I love you. Yeah. That's awesome.
It's totally
that is hardcore.
I'm playing on hardcore mode.
And I did want to say that I feel like, because I think everybody's first impression, of course, because of what's kind of in the zeitgeist right now, is that this is going to be Twilight-ish. And it really it harkens more to me, and I don't know if you intended this, to Buffy/Angel than it does.
Yay.
I am a huge Buffy fan. Now I read every word of every Twilight book. I will admit that freely. I was it was a compulsion, right? I had to
read
it.
This is a safe space. You can talk about these things.
Absolutely.
Yeah, I was actually a fan. So, and then I became not a fan. So you're in good company, and I was probably way worse than you. So don't feel bad.
Well, and I think, but that's the thing. I think it's okay. It's okay to like it. I think right now it's very cool to hate on it, and yeah. and you know, that's in vogue, and that's fine. But I mean, there's some. Who am I to say anything bad about her? The woman is a bajillionaire, and did something that like really. Really contacted and touched people. Mm-hmm. But so that was sort of the jumping off point was Twilight. Our engineer Ben Breton and I were talking because they had approached me to do a new kind of game book. This company, Tin Man Games, had a few out at that point, and they were all like D&D style fantasy books. And yeah. and Ben and I had worked on projects together for a long time, and so when they wanted to do something that was a little more female oriented, different genre, he came to me and we were talking about the fact that we were all the women who we knew were reading Twilight. I was too. And how fun would it be to do something, a takeoff on that? And I thought that would be really fun to try, but it had to be a comedy.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
You know, and I couldn't do vampires without making it funny.
Well, you mentioned Joss Whedon earlier, and he does a great job of.
Yes.
It can be serious and funny at the same time because I mean life's kind of like that. I mean, even terrible things happen and fights happen and things like that, but people still can find the humor in it. And I think there's a lot of that in your writing as well. So that's awesome.
Thank
and that's
you. What yeah, made it... I'm sorry.
Oh, I'm sorry. Go ahead.
Oh, I was just gonna say I loved Buffy. Watched all of it. And so it's obviously influenced me a lot too.
Great. Awesome.
And that's kind of what, grounded it for me was that, was the kind of tongue in cheek sense of humor that the book contains while you're reading along with it. And it didn't feel like from a dude's perspective or whatever, Twilight is kind of about this, lovelorn girl and figuring out what she's going to do with her life and like that. Like that probably would not have, if that was the entire book, if that was the kind of the stance of the book, I probably wouldn't have gotten into it as much. But this is, it's got all that kind of Whedon-esque like ass kicking moments and then humor and then some serious stuff. And it plays really well. So that's what made it readable to me, which is why I said it's not just, it didn't feel like it's just a book about a girl with vampire boyfriends,
Right.
And the thing, too, that I thought was really awesome and I was super happy about is you actually – I don't want to give anything away, but you actually are kind of rewarded for not acting like a Bella Swan. You know what I mean? So
I don't know, you're also rewarded – I got rewarded for kind of being the – girl that just was like, I don't know what I want and kind of thing.
Okay. So yeah, I guess this comes down to the different playthroughs and how your choices really affect your story. Yeah.
It really blows my mind. How many different, is there a way to quantify how many different ways to get through the book there are? I mean, there is a finite amount of endings, obviously. Right. So,
right.
By the
right,
way, sorry, I was just going to say, Matt, I got the winner achievement because I got the perfect ending.
Oh, God.
Oh, wow. I did not get that.
Nice.
There's still more to play.
Was it a happy ending?
Oh, God. Just move on. Why do you answer Ash when he says these things? Anyway, sorry. Miley,
I have a role to play in this podcast.
I know. I've heard you before. Sorry. I know what I'm dealing with. There are 40 unique endings in this book.
Oh my God.
Wow.
Wow.
And that doesn't mean you could still get like a similar ending, but it has a different kind of entrance. So it's changed in a certain way. But yeah, there are a lot of different things that can happen. You die a lot, and yeah. Sometimes it's really not fair because you don't know you're going to die. Sometimes I'm like, no, are you sure you want to do that?
Yeah.
But I think it's. It's like 320 sections, and a section can be anywhere from a paragraph to several pages.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, so, man, Mylan, I just got to a page that's got like six choices on it. What am I supposed to do?
Are they all available to you?
No.
Well, right.
Is there only one?
Yeah. Oh man.
Yeah, well that's yeah, so there are certain moments where you come to a point and we have to say, wait, back up. What are you? Are you a vampire? Are you a slayer? Are you human? Yeah. And that's sort of a fun time where you stop and you think, oh, wow, okay, so what could happen to me if I had taken a completely different path to get here?
I'm just trying to figure out where I want to move to. What do I do? Tell me what to do.
Put a bookmark there.
Yeah.
There you go.
I know, it's this hardcore playthrough, insanity playthrough.
And you just got to go with your gut.
Okay, all right.
Well, I mean, to wrap this up, I think, you know, we aren't specifically drooling all over this just because you're here. It is actually a very fun read. And I had a blast reading it. So thanks for creating it. It's like Ash said, Choose Your Own Adventure was a thing I used to read constantly when I was little. And the fact that these are existing in kind of a new, more interactive, immersive way is totally cool to me. So keep it up, if you will.
Yeah.
And I hope Tin Man keeps pumping these out. So
yeah, what's
next for you personally with Tin Man? Are you working on a follow-up project? I know you mentioned some stuff kind of in passing about some things that are in the works.
Yes. So Strange Loves is going to be a series. We had an author, Lacey Wilson, wrote book two, and I'm working on editing it right now, getting it ready. It's called Hex Boyfriends, and it's all about magic.
Nice.
Nice.
And book three is written, but it also needs to be edited. And it was written by Carla Sackis, and it was actually about shapeshifters. So it's called Two-Faced Boyfriends.
Ha! I love that. This is
awesome. Wow.
And they all take place in the same world.
So you're building a little universe, huh? That's awesome.
Yeah. So I created this college campus and kind of have a Bible that I send out to my authors. We also have, some other potential proposals coming in soon. But it's so we have crossover characters, which is really fun. And of course, all the buildings are the same. And I don't know if you looked at the map, but this is a really fun little tiny detail about it, too, is all of the buildings are named after strong women of science fiction or fantasy or history.
Oh, wow.
So
I didn't see the map. Is there a Ripley building? There needs to be a Ripley building.
No, I'm writing it down.
Okay.
But there is a Connor gym. That's my favorite one after Sarah.
Nice. Sarah Connor.
Yes.
Brilliant.
Yeah. Awesome.
And love the football stadium after Kara Thrace.
Oh, wow. So you are a Katie Sackhoff fan.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah.
I live there.
Oh, man. You would live there, Hillary, in so many ways.
So awesome. Yeah. And you guys will be at PAX East?
We will. We'll have a booth at PAX East. And you know, Tim Mang Games has a whole bunch of other books. I mean, my book is book 10, actually, that they released, and that came out in August. And we have a fighting fantasy deal. And we just had like a Judge Dredd game book come out. We have like six new ones coming out soon, and a sequel to one of the ones that we had, our first book, actually, coming in January. And a new series called Gun Dogs. There's something for everybody. We have
good
sci-fi.
For them. That's great.
Yeah. It's very fun.
It's really
That's
exciting.
Very, very cool.
That's awesome.
We're all about it, and we wish Tin Man and yourself tons of luck, and I think it's going to go very, very well for you guys.
Yeah, I mean,
out at PAX East.
Go,
it's going to be awesome.
Yeah.
We will. Go to your respective marketplace, whether it be iOS or Android, and I think Strange Loves is $4.99. Am I right?
No, it's $2.99.
$2.99.
Yeah.
So $2.99, and it's literally hours of reading and story play. Like it's awesome. I've been reading it on the train to and from work every day, and you know, I get 30 minutes in and it's like I feel like I barely cracked the surface sometimes of the story, and sometimes I've already killed myself twice. So
there you go.
Love it.
Love it. It's the way you should do it.
And also, if you guys hang around to the very end of the podcast, we are going to be giving away a couple copies with a contest that you will have to wait and listen to how to win a copy.
Heyo. Perfect. That's what we call
Yay,
it.
Contest.
It's a pretty easy way to win a copy too. So you just have to hang out and be patient and then listen to the rest of our silly stories, and then you might win yourself something.
All right.
So next up, Ash.
Yeah,
talk
very,
about
very
this game
briefly.
That I still cannot get on damn Android.
Well, I took a break from it for a very long time, but my wife is actually a huge fan of Hero Academy, and she's been bugging me to play more again.
Tell her
to
start a game with me.
I will. She's actually was wondering if you were still playing.
Yep.
So the reason I brought this up is because they did work out a deal with Steam, And now there's this unique team that you can download. If you purchase the Steam version, which is only a couple dollars, you can play Hero Academy on your PC, and then you will gain access to the Team Fortress 2 characters as an actual playable team. So they have like the Pyro and the Sniper and the Heavy, and all the characters from Team Fortress 2 are playable in Hero Academy. And then once you have it on your Steam account, it'll actually transfer it to your mobile games as well. So it'll just pop up on your iOS or Android as a playable army then. And the Team Fortress 2 team is also a super ton of fun. And also, I believe last week or the week before, they released another new army called the Shaolin, who are Kung Fu movie-based characters, and they're all a lot of fun too. So if you have not yet picked up Hero Academy, it's an awesome turn-based handheld game for Steam and iOS and Android. And if you like tactics and you like, chess-like games, turn-based strategy, it is amazing, and I can't recommend it enough. I wanted to bring this up because every once in a while, I'll just be searching through Netflix and I go to the documentary section because I'm a big documentary nerd. And I literally pick this one randomly. And I know that sounds kind of strange, but I'll do that with documentaries because documentaries are awesome because they teach you stuff. And yes. And I like to be taught random things. So I picked this documentary called Resurrect Dead, which had a lot of positive reviews. And I was like, I'll check it out and see what it's all about. Has anyone seen this other than myself and Mylan? Because I know Mylan watched it, and I thank her for that, so I don't have to talk completely by myself for this review.
I watched it for you, Ash.
Thank you so much. I really appreciate it. So this documentary is really strange. The premise of it is all of a sudden – well, not all of a sudden. For the past like 25 years, all of a sudden – this is the storyteller me. You're walking down the hall. No.
Here we go.
For the past 25 years, these tiles have been popping up all over the United States, specifically in areas like New York and Pennsylvania and some in D.C. And when I say tiles, they're literally tiles that have been cut out of like, formica and things like that. And then actually they're glued down to the pavement, right? And the tiles all have these really weird and cryptic messages. And no one knew who laid down the tiles, what the tiles meant, or really any of the origins of the tiles at all. And so the message on the tile was kind of like eerie. And the main message was...
Wait, let me guess. December 21st, 2012.
No, it wasn't. It didn't have anything to do with Mayan apocalypses, unfortunately. But the message on the tile was, Toynbee idea in the movie 2001... Resurrect dead on the planet Jupiter. Okay, so imagine you're walking down the street and you look down and there's a strange tile literally in the middle of the road, a tile like it's actually embedded in the pavement that says this, right? And these have been popping up everywhere, and no one for the longest time had any idea where they came from or what they meant. So the documentary is really all about the discovery of the origins of these tiles and what the actual meaning of the tiles is. And it is... Did you end up getting like chills and stuff, Mylan?
It was kind of creepy.
Wasn't it creepy?
Yeah.
Like it gets to, when they start talking about, and I don't want to give anything away because it is a documentary that's presented like a mystery, right? And so the whole time you're really, really eager to see what the origins of, you know, the tiles are
how much they learn.
Yeah. And it's this guy that becomes obsessed really with finding out the secret of the tiles, because he starts off as a delivery boy, and he would see these while he was delivering packages on the ground, and he's like, wait a minute, there's a tile over here and a tile over here, what the heck does this mean? And so he starts his own like kind of independent campaign to research them. But Mylan, why don't you give me some of your thoughts on it and what you thought kind of going into it and coming out of it?
Yes, you know, I thought it was really interesting. I like the way that they put it together. And honestly, I think the documentary is more about the guy who's trying to find out the answer to the mystery than it is really about the mystery in some ways.
The story was great. You're absolutely right. Like, it tells a lot about, you know, his obsession and kind of he seems kind of like a little bit of an obsessive guy. So he is a very interesting character to kind of watch throughout the story. You're absolutely right.
Yeah, he's a great subject, and this is this really strange thing. I mean, these tiles are all over. There are hundreds of them, and they're all over the United States and in South America, and this guy had already gone through and taken photographs of them in a lot of different places. I like the way it was put together. I think in some ways it was definitely a more traditionally structured documentary. But because of the subject matter, it managed to be kind of creepy. And the music, which was done with the guy who directed it, really good.
Isn't that crazy that he did all that?
Yeah. Yeah.
He wrote all the music and directed it. And it's funny because you work in the television business and you work on documentaries a lot, if I'm correct.
Yes. Right? Yes.
So this, you have a good eye for this sort of thing. That's one of the reasons I'm really glad you watched it, because I wanted to get your opinion as someone who actually works on documentaries. So,
I do a lot of work, mostly promotional work for a lot of nonfiction cable networks. And so I definitely watched a lot of different shows and different documentaries. I thought it was really cool. And he definitely spent a lot of time.
Yeah, absolutely.
Working on this. They've worked on this for years and years. I didn't look to see how long, but
yeah, it was pretty incredible. So just, because we're already going long, but if you're in the mood for a documentary that is eerie, and it does not answer the question in the end, but it comes very close to answering the question in the end. So there are answers. You get to kind of find out what the tiles actually mean. You get to find out perhaps who actually laid the tiles. You get to find out, it gets into the point where you start to, at least for me, it poses some questions that were really, really interesting about the origins of man and all sorts of crazy stuff. So I think you guys will really, really like it.
For sure. Yeah.
Cool.
So a couple days ago, I got to see Twilight Breaking Dawn Part 2. Whoa. So exciting.
Were you excited? I don't understand. I can't tell from the inflection of your voice.
Yeah, it was sarcasm.
Oh.
No, I have to say that I was a Twilight fan back when the books first came out. And, I think Mylan's right about saying that it's kind of in vogue to make fun of Stephanie Meyer and or her writing and or her stories. But I think this movie was pleasantly kind of awesome. Breaking Dawn Part 1, I saw, it was honestly cringeworthy in a lot of different ways. But it was a nice ending to the franchise. So I have to say that that the twists and turns that were different from the book, I loved. The acting was pretty decent. And if you just want to be entertained for a few hours, and a lot of moments where I was literally laughing out loud, and so was the rest of the audience, in a good way, not like at it, but because of it.
That's good.
Yeah.
Yeah. I think it ended really well. And. I was also a fan of the first Twilight movie because I felt like it was very intimate and kind of told a really cool story. I mean, the reasons why I don't like Twilight overall is just I don't think it's a very positive message. But at the same time, it is entertainment, so I'm not going to take it too seriously.
You should not have sex with monsters.
No, it's not that, actually. It's funny. I think what it is I really don't like the idea that she's so eager to give up her mortality. She wants to die and she wants to separate herself from her family. And a lot of the choices that she makes, to kind of sacrifice her entire identity for the sake of a boyfriend who's 100 years older than her. Yeah. I mean, on one level, I get it. I've always been fascinated by vampires. That is definitely in my wheelhouse. I read a lot of YA young adult books. I read, a lot of that stuff. I love the supernatural stuff. But for some reason, I just reacted not well to the whole Bella choices thing. But the movie was great. I mean, if you just want to, have a fun experience, and if you're even a small fan of the Twilight franchise, I think you're really going to enjoy it.
My wife reads these and has seen all the films, and I've managed to not. But I think in a little while, I'm just going to dive in and watch all the films back to back and just...
Yeah,
vamp sex it up,
man. I don't know.
Yeah, well, I mean, they're really entertaining.
You keep saying that, but it's all about chasteness until the very end. So there, you're not going to get any vampire sex in it. That's part of the idea for my book, was that I was thinking about these girls who were really into Twilight when they were preteens, and now they're in their early 20s, and they probably want to have something that's a little more grown up. But just to warn you, if you're looking for vampire sex, just watch the last two.
Oh, okay.
But isn't there...
It's true.
I don't want to get into what else there is, but oh, that's fine.
As the expert on vampire sex, let me...
real quick before we get out of the reviews, this isn't as much a review as just a notice to our community. Humble Bundle, which is a really great charity-driven game sales website, I guess, which usually does kind of more indie game packages that you can buy at a dollar or more, pay whatever you want, then it you can choose whether it gets donated or given to the developers, and then or you can give a little back to Humble Bundle so they can keep doing this. They have actually partnered with THQ this time.
Oh, cool.
And it is an awesome pack of games. It's Saints Row the Third, Darksiders, Metro 2033, Red Faction Armageddon, Company of Heroes, Company of Heroes Opposing Fronts, and Company of Heroes Tales of Valor. And if you pay more than $5, you get all the soundtracks too for all those games. So there's 11 days left on it as of today. So once you guys hear this, there should be another week left on the Humble Bundle running. And I really recommend going and picking it up because it's for a good cause.
Now,
and
what format are these games in?
Is it is Windows Steam only.
Okay, Steam only.
So
gotcha.
You'll get Steam keys for all the games that they Excellent. Have. Go check it out. Go pick it up. I picked it up. And you know, gave a little back, and it's a good thing you get some cool games for a good cause.
For sure. Awesome.
Nice. Okay, you guys, we're going to take a little break right now, but we'll be right back with Nerd Appropriate Podcast.
We are back. We are here to do our Nequado this week, which is, of course, vampire sex themed.
Very appropriate question of the week.
In honor of having Mylin on the podcast. So the question is, supernatural romance, what supernatural being / creature would you love to have a relationship with and why?
Oh, boy. We got some interesting ones this time.
You know what I really like about this question is the way that you phrased it. Because yes. It sounds like the opening to like a Clone Wars episode, you know.
Supernatural romance.
Supernatural romance. What supernatural creature or being would you love to have a relationship and why?
That's pretty much what I was going for. So yeah. Thank you for noticing that.
Yeah.
And I do have to say, if we have not already earned our explicit tag this week, we are entering explicit territory at this very moment.
Oh,
so.
Yeah.
Oh, my virgin ears.
I know.
Okay.
I could go so many places with that.
Ear sex joke, and I didn't.
Me too, Matt. Me too.
Well, let's get into it.
Into the
Hillary,
ears.
How about you read this first one?
Are you guys Ferengi or what?
Oh, good one. Good one.
Nice. All right, so Patrick Weeks, at Patrick Weeks, you know, honestly the coolest guy and writer at BioWare, he says, shapeshifter. I would convince her I loved her for her real self. Then lots of nookie with her as movie stars. Or Lithid? I don't know what that is. I want someone who loves me for my mind, you know?
I love the fact that he thought about this long enough to actually come up with an answer to like yes. maximize the yeah. the perversion of the question. So it's like yes. not only are you going to have relations with, you know, a supernatural creature, but he's going to make that supernatural creature morph into various movie stars, which I'm sure his wife is going to love when she Parents listens to this podcast.
Well, I love you guys. Ash, you know what a Lithid is, right?
It's from D&D, right?
It's a mind flayer.
Oh, that's a mind flayer. Okay. Yeah.
Which nice. Is like an octopus squid beast yes. that eats your brain. So that's those were his two choices.
Genius.
Solid. Solid answers.
Oh my gosh, though. But if it were Jennifer Lawrence, I wouldn't have her change into anything else.
Ooh. Yeah. Hey,
oh.
Scott, you're married.
Oh, right.
Yeah, no, but mine would be like Ian Somerhalder, and I'd be good with that.
Oh.
Do you guys know who he is?
I know, the Vampire yeah. Diaries show.
Yeah, and Diary. but he was also on Lost, so that gives him some cred with you, right?
Was he? Oh, yeah, he was the... He spoiler, yeah, he got crushed by a plane, right? Or something?
Yeah, well, he was the one that had the sister. Yeah, he got crushed by the plane. Yeah.
Are they the two that everybody hated and they just killed them like immediately?
Yeah, they did that a lot on Lost.
Oh, was it Nikki and Paolo? Or is that who we're talking about?
No, it's
No. The brother and sister.
That were in the first season.
Oh,
Maggie Grace.
Maggie Grace and the other dude.
Yeah.
Yeah. Ian Somerhalder.
Yes.
Oh, the other dude. There you go. Yeah.
Matt, you're really good at reading this gentleman's name. So
Robert Freemering.
Yes.
Matt Slick says, Eva Green as a witch. Rough sex around the room with flying.
Eva Green was Vesper Lynd in the Bond movies.
Ooh.
So you can't really... He made a wise decision.
Yeah, it's good.
So, Mylin, let's just get right into it. What is your answer here?
Oh, okay. So I thought about this for a long time, and I think it would have to be a centaur.
Whoa.
Oh.
Whoa.
Whoa. Hey-o. Whoa.
And I think you know why.
Oh, hey-o.
Okay. Ding, 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 ding. Winner of the best.
You just won. And by the way, we are now friends forever. Because...
All right. Well, thanks for listening, everybody. That's the appropriate podcast.
Because
there's nowhere to go after that.
She starts talking about centaur wieners.
I didn't say that.
Oh my god!
Your mind went wherever it went.
I really want to make a dirty joke, but I can't.
Yes, you can.
Join the dark side, Hillary. Come on.
There's a couple ways you can ride that one.
Oh my god!
That was pretty good.
That was good.
That's good.
Thank you.
I'm not gonna be able to top that.
I don't even want to answer now.
Yeah.
That's so boring.
You're gonna say vampires, aren't you? Because you love vampires.
Of course I am. Wouldn't I?
Let's just get yours out of the way then. Do you want like a Lestat kind of vampire? Do you want like a modern day like romantic? Well, I mean, let's put it this way: Angel, the character of Angel, is the model for the romantic vampire. He's really one. I mean, I guess you could go back and do the older than that and do the stuff, but.
Yeah, I mean, I think so. One of my favorite movies of all time is Bram Stoker's Dracula, and okay. I really love the idea that an evil person can be redeemed by love. I guess so. I think I love the whole like I can change him kind of thing, even though legitimately that's not a great thing.
Yeah,
that's why you like Royce so much, isn't it?
Yeah. Actually, great point. Royce was definitely in my wheelhouse. I swear I use that all the time. Thanks a lot, Matt.
I think it's Scott.
I borrow that constantly. Anyway, yeah, the reason I love Royce in Strange Loves is because he's kind of that way.
Interesting. So at Tasman or Tassis McGee, our good buddy at Tasman, she says, "I'm a sucker for vampires." Get it? Puns for 1,000. That was pretty good. I'm a sucker.
I like the Jeopardy call out. I was saying the other day, I saw an ad for Jeopardy, and I was like, why do they advertise Jeopardy? Like, is anyone unaware that that show exists at this point in their life?
It's like an American staple.
Yeah. Anyways, let's keep it rolling.
At Ritzy Fox, Ritzy says, I married a werewolf in Skyrim, no regrets, except that time when I tried to get married as a werewolf. Hilarity ensued.
Yes. Have you ever?
I never tried that.
Getting married as a werewolf? I never tried that either, but I love when you kind of just decide, I'm just going to run through this town as a werewolf, and it always ends very, very poorly. Good old Skyrim. Let's see. Tiffany Peters at T-Bird. Hi, Tiffany. She says, a werewolf, because they're usually lumberjack-looking dudes or Turians. That counts, right?
We're learning so much about our community today.
We're just bringing everybody closer together, I think.
I feel like we can all get together and we just know, like, oh,
well,
cool.
I know if my wife ever divorces me, I will dress as a lumberjack and perhaps a centaur.
Wow.
Whoa.
Oh, my God.
Yay.
Oh, no.
Of course, another pun comes to mind, and I just can't do it. I just
do
can't.
It.
Come on.
Just let it out.
Fine. Hung like a horse.
Oh, my gosh.
I mean, that's not a pun. That's just kind of...
You speak truth, I think.
Yeah.
Dude, my parents are not allowed to listen to this podcast.
Hi, Mom.
Yeah, hi, Mom.
It's going to be bad.
That's fantastic.
I like that you started out like, never mind. Let's just move.
Oh my gosh.
I'm broken. My brain is shattered.
Scott, why don't we hear yours? Have you thought of one yet?
Yeah, I actually thought of two, as is common on this podcast. I think the first one that I came up with was a dryad, because in The Witcher you had this option to...
They're like plant ladies, right?
Yeah, and there was an option to romance her, and I didn't create a save point ahead of time, and I totally blew it, so...
So you just want that chance back?
Yeah, I just want to get that opportunity back. Here, I think I'm trying to... I posted in a photo for you guys below our responses here.
Whoa, geez, Scott.
Whoa, hey-o.
That was adult-rated pictures on the...
I didn't make the game. That's just how she appears in the game.
Wow. Have you not played The Witcher, Matt?
For our audience, and Scott just posted a picture of a naked dryad, and it is pretty much just a naked woman that is green. So
I didn't design the game. That's all I'm trying to say.
Yeah,
and then the other one maybe would be like a mermaid, because I just want to know how that works, you know, just for scientific purposes, scientific purposes.
I will never not think of the Family Guy sketch where Lois meets a merman and he's fish on top, human on bottom. and he like saves her life, and he's like, all right, like, yeah, you know, like, yeah, we're gonna sleep together now, right? And she's like, I don't know, and he's like, come on, and this is the thing. It's like merman. It's whatever the lady wants. And she's like, yeah, but we want like the dude on top and the fish on bottom. He's like, but then how would we have sex, huh? Got you there.
So there you have it.
Nice.
Somebody take Justin Banks at Midtown 583 says, I'd go with Damona from the cartoon show Gargoyles. It'd be cool to get rides across New York. I watched this show recently.
Yeah.
And in my head, I had like... remembered it being much better animated than it actually is in real life.
That happens. You go back and you're like, wow, it's like one frame per minute.
And you know what? In like a totally fitting shout out to the internet in general, I Googled this and there are already like sex drawings of this character that are like fan art.
Of course.
So there you go.
Awesome.
It's a thing, you know, it can be.
I really like this next answer. Jesse Lamb at Axel 99, a succubus. My love life will never be boring.
That's true. Mind control.
I think the whole concept of a succubus is kind of hot, honestly. I mean, even though it's like sucking the life force out of you, but I kind of dig it.
You know, I'm toying with the idea of making one of our books in the series where you get to play as a succubus. I have a whole thing worked out for it.
Because then you could use, I mean, I know you're kind of leaning toward the next book has magic and stuff in it, but actually being able to use magic in your decisions would be really cool.
Yes, you do. In book two, you do. You learn spells and you can use them.
That's very cool.
Yeah.
Awesome.
When you talk about the succubus, it makes me think of that old episode of South Park where the chef marries a succubus and the kids have to sing a song backwards to rescue him.
What song is it? I forget what song it is.
It's just some weird song they made up, but then they sang it. It's the song she sang all the time. And the kids sung it backwards to get her like away from chef.
She turns into like a big demon beast and flies off.
Yeah.
It's amazing. Well, my answer, I was sitting at dinner last night when I was having that text conversation with Matt, and I was asking the folks at the table, I was like, well, I don't know what to choose. And I'm actually, you know, my wife had the answer for me. She goes, you have to pick Falcor.
Yes.
So I'm going to go with that answer because I could just think of the love and adventures we'd share. And, you know, I don't know exactly what Falcor's private parts would be like, but, you know, he would be such a good friend, I wouldn't care.
So. Oh, my God. I can only think of the worst things to say right now, and I don't want to say that.
Let me break in then and just say, you know, he's a great snuggler.
Oh, that is true. He's definitely a great snuggler. I was hoping Scott would do his Falcor impression again, too, because it was really
good. Ash, I'm going down.
Thanks, Falcor. Friends for sure.
Hi, Mom.
Mylan, why don't you take this one since you know this next person?
Okay, and I will. Right before, I would like to ask if we could just dedicate this podcast to all of our mothers.
Yes.
All of our moms. Yes.
Thank you for being tolerant of our perversions, Mom.
Okay, this next one came from Anna Schumann, Peachy Anna. And she says, a zombie with a British accent. And why? Well, yes, British. And he throws the best masquerade balls. It's a love-kill relationship. I'd love to kill him.
Such a detailed answer.
It is very... It was actually multiple tweets kind of smashed together to make an answer. But thanks for listening, Anna. I knew she was going to pick a vampire too before she even answered. I was like,
Can we just comment on the picture that's in the show notes right now?
I added that for you guys. That was just for you guys.
Of 12-year-old me riding on Falcon.
That was the kid from Goonies,
that's
the travel
exactly
shuffle.
What I looked like when I was 12.
love it.
You're all welcome. So I guess I'll say mine, right? I'm the only one who hasn't answered.
Go for it.
So if it can be a character, I was going to say Wonder Woman because, you know, get broken. That'd be awesome. And then if it can't be a character and it just needs to be like a mythical being, I didn't have one really, but this is only based on the fact that they've gotten no love here, which is I'll romance a ghost somehow.
Whoa. Nice.
There's no ghosts.
It's true. No specters.
Those are always sad stories though.
This is a look into our psyches, Hillary. That's what's going on right now.
Yeah.
So
I learned a lot today, you guys.
Into our psyches. I am clearly deranged.
So the last one is at Ocular Nervosa. Wait, what?
Yeah. None.
Yeah?
Yeah, Ocular
Nervosa. None. No, I'm trying to read the answer to make sense of it. Okay. None. According to Greek mythology, they always end badly. I guess, you'll get killed, essentially.
Yeah, meaning no monster romances.
So let's talk contests.
Let's talk contests. So Mylin was cool enough to give us a few codes for her book/ Tin Man Games game, Strange Loves. So if you tweet us with hashtag vampire sex, we are going to, at the end of the week, compile all the vampire sex or hashtag vampire sex tweets that we get, and we are going to give away a couple copies to the people that tweet at us with hashtag vampire sex. So if you want to give this incredibly fun game a shot, go ahead and tweet at us with hashtag vampire sex, and then we're going to give you some free stuff.
You know what else I'd like to say about this form of the Choose Your Own Adventure book, like kind of the game book on my tablet? I can read it on the train, and I get there's no judgment, you know?
Oh,
it's like zero.
Because they don't know what you're doing.
Yeah, who knows? Mm-hmm. Could be anything. I could be reading about George Washington, or I could be trying to seduce Lucas. You know, either way, they have
all
no idea
Royce.
What's going on.
Completely fine. Cool. So we do have a couple shout-outs this week before we get out of here. The first one is, of course, to our good buddies at Reset Transmission. They've been doing some great stuff lately, and they've been having a lot of fun. And they are always supportive of us, so we, in turn, are always supportive of them. So go check out the Reset Transmission podcast, available on iTunes, and look for them, and they're a lot of fun.
And they game like fiends on Twitch TV, too.
They do. They're doing a lot of Twitch stuff, which I don't have any desire to ever watch people watch me game. I don't. It's not really my thing.
Well, Ash says he doesn't want to have people watch him play games.
I don't. Yeah, I don't.
It creeps him out.
Yeah, I mean, it's kind of, I guess I do it to relax me, and I don't want people watching me do it, you know?
But you can watch Peachy Anna play Oregon Trail 5, which is highly entertaining.
I know.
In some strange
ways.
So
it's really funny.
Yeah.
So wait, is it her, do you actually see her playing the game, or do you just see her game?
No, you hear her talking while she's playing the game, so she's just kind of like narrating the session.
Yeah.
I think that's cool.
So cool, you guys. You got to check it out.
Amazing.
We're about
other big shout out for the week is Mr. Mike Gamble, who was on episode 82. And of course, Mike's a producer over at BioWare, and he came dropped by the podcast to talk about Mass Effect Omega and his career at BioWare. And we had a great time having him on. And make sure you listen to episode 82 if you want some insight into the video game biz.
Cool. So, Mylin, do you want to tell us where we can find you?
Yes.
Sure. You can find me on Twitter at Mylin B. And you can also find anything you want to know about my book or all the other game books at gamebookadventures.com.
Awesome. So, is there anything else you need to promote or anything like that? We are so glad you came on. Thank you for being with us today.
Oh, yeah. No, I just wanted to say thank you, too. It's really fun to talk to you guys today.
Good. Well, you're welcome.
We had won a ton the of podcast. Fun. So
totally off the rails conversation. I love it.
Centaur joke. You,
yeah.
Yeah.
You're the winner.
So what was the Etsy address again for the Photoshop stuff?
Oh, it's digitalblush.etsy.com.
Cool. Awesome. And if you go to her Twitter page and see her picture, it's fantastic. So I'm really, really impressed. So I'm definitely going to check it out.
Awesome.
Thank you.
Okay, guys, as always, you can find us on Twitter at NerdAppropriate, and you can find us on iTunes. Just do a search for Rated NA on iTunes. You'll be able to find us there. Make sure you subscribe and you rate us and you tell us that we're okay at what we do.
Your comments sustain us.
You're okay. I really hope somebody writes, "We're okay at what we do." That would be amazing. If anybody puts that review in iTunes, I'll figure out something that I can give them.
Real quick,
new contest.
You know how when you go to the bathroom, sometimes people write things on the wall with like markers?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Somebody wrote once, Toy Story 2 was okay. I love that.
That's amazing.
Yeah.
Take the time to put a mediocre review down. It's awesome.
I know, right?
All right, thank you guys for listening as always, and check out Big Giant Circles. He does our music, and that's coming up now.
See ya. Right back. Oh, you want to do it, Matt? Go ahead.
But all at the same time.
Maybe we should let Mylin take us into the break.
Oh, we should.
Oh, there we go.
Okay, you guys, we're going to take a little break right now, but we'll be right back with Nerd Appropriate Podcast.
Wow, Mylin, you should always be on the podcast.
You're pro. You can have it. The podcast is now yours. We give up.
Just out-proed us and